Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cricket Unfiltered. It's our wrap of day four from Headingley. I'm Menners. I'm joined by special guest Jono Baruch from Fox Sports, digital sports reporter for Fox Sports. Jono, welcome back to the show. What a win for England. They're back in the series.
Thanks for having me back, Menners. It's great to be here. I think it's great that I think this test series doesn't really deserve any dead rubbers, does it? And full credit to England, they're back in the series and sure as hell come alive, hasn't it, with so many things that have gone wrong. And it just feels that with every passing test and session in this test series, that it's a matter of who can throw the most punches. And one team punches first, the other team punches back. And today, England threw the final punch and the knockout blow and got over the line. And we head to Manchester in a couple of weeks. Australia's still leading 2-1, but it's game on.
It is game on. Yeah, I'd be happy if Australia won in Manchester and the Oval was a dead rubber. I don't think my heart can take three nail-biting test matches. So Australia lost. Well, England won by 3 wickets. They chased down 251 with 3 wickets in hand. The star for England was Harry Brook with 75 not out. Chris Wokes made a lovely 32 not out at the end to guide them home. And the irrepressible Mark Wood was also 16 not out. For Australia, the hero with the ball was Mitchell Starc, who took 5 for 78, his 14th test 5-wicket haul. And, going back to the beginning of play, Jono, I thought Australia started slowly and they worked their way into the game. And, you know, when Starc got Duckett and then Mo and Ali, the door just opened for Australia.
Yeah, 100%. You felt going into today that Australia needed to shop early and really make some big breakthroughs within that first hour. And as you mentioned, it took the Aussies a little bit of time to properly get into it. But once Starc found his line, found his length, he got Duckett walking across the stumps and then went through Moeen Ali. And what was a bit of a surprise to everyone to see Moeen Ali come right up the order to first drop, which demoted Harry Brook down to his regular number five's position, which, as he said, managed to guide England home. But that was a bit of a worry. And then, again, you just sort of said that it's great that Australia needed to shop early, as I said, and get those two early wickets. But they just had to keep breaking through pivotal moments, which I thought they did. They really, really could have used one extra wicket just before the lunch break there. But I felt they were pretty on point for most of the first session. They didn't really let England get too far away and broke through exactly when they needed to.
Apparently, Moeen Ali said to the coach and skipper the night before that he wanted to bat three. And although he failed with the bat at three, only making five, it did protect Brook, who played that pivotal innings. The next to go was Zach Crawley, caught by Carey off Mitchell Marsh. And Mitchell Marsh did the double over Crawley, got him in both innings. Now, in that first session, Jono, there's a few things that concern me. Firstly, I thought right throughout the day, Mitchell Starc was head and shoulders above the other quick bowlers. Pat Cummins ended the day 15 overs, 1 for 77. Scott Boland, 11 overs, none for 49. They both looked relatively ineffective. And, you know, Starc had to do it all on his own.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. And the final bowling card further paints that picture with Starc getting five of the seven wickets. I think Pat Cummins won't admit it, but I think he's cooked. He's played four tests pretty much in a row, now starting from the World Test Championship all the way to the end of this day now. So I think he's of the entire cartel and the Australian setup is looking forward to having over a week's break and being able to rest that body of his. I don't know if we'll see Scott Boland again on this Ashes for Menes. I've got a bit of a premonition about it. He's only taken the two wickets for the tour. He's gone it over about 5.5 and over. He bashes away on that consistent length. But with Bazball, it's all about getting out of your crease and upsetting the bowler's length and really trying to work that. And as much as Boland's played T20 cricket and has gone around the BBL, I just don't know if he's got enough in his repertoire to really stray from that line and mix it up and bowl slower balls and Yorkers, particularly with the Duke ball and particularly seeing how hard England have gone after him. So no doubt that's been affecting him. And as you said, Mitchell Starc, who said he couldn't bowl in England? What an unbelievable performance from him. And you talk about Mark Wood being that massive point of difference for England, mixing up that same attack. Well, Mitchell Starc, the big left armer, can bowl it at 150 k's an hour, can swing it both ways. And when he gets it spot on like he did today, early on, and then again right after lunch, he's a handful. And he looms large over these next two tests for Australia if they want to get up.
Definitely. Well, a couple of things I want to pick up from. I think you can say now safely they got it wrong picking a Boland over Hazelwood in this match. You would have loved Hazelwood today bowling, trying to defend that small total. And you're right, Pat Cummins to me did look cooked. And I thought tactically we were pretty off the mark a lot of today. Now, I thought his treatment of Todd Murphy was bordering on ridiculous. He didn't bring him on until only 30 runs were needed for victory. And I thought Cummins had to take a punt sort of halfway through the first session, bring Murphy on and see what's in the pitch for the spinner, see if he can get something out of it. And you can't wait until there's only 30-odd runs to bring him into the attack. It just seemed completely ridiculous. Murphy only bowled two overs in that final chase, and that's going to destroy his confidence.
Yeah, I was like you and like many other commentators, I was quite puzzled with it. Day four wicket, you saw what Moeen Ali was able to do on day two, no less, and yet he was gifted a couple of his wickets by some really ordinary shots from Steve Smith and Arnis Labuschagne. But you just wonder what they'll do, particularly after, and I've written a bit about this in the aftermath. I felt like Pat Cummins really made the down payment on Todd Murphy in that first innings, particularly when Stokes was going after him and they backed him in to say, no, 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 you're our guy, get us this wicket. And sure enough, as much as he went the journey a little bit, he ended up getting the wicket of Stokes. So I was kind of hoping that Cummins would believe in Murphy a bit more like he did in that first innings and give him a shot a little bit earlier on. And 100%, he had to believe him. And again, you bring him on the over before lunch to have a look what's there. Yeah, he goes around a little bit and then the quicks do the jobs after lunch. So you kind of think, well, maybe Brick keep the quicks on, but I agree. You had to have a look at him, and you need to look at him. And he'll play in Manchester. I'm sure of that. I'm sure he'll play the Oval as well. But I think there will be a conversation about that. Todd Murphy is an attacking off spinner. Is going to keep coming at you, and there's no doubt England will keep coming at you. I'm sure this wasn't his plans to really play all these Ashes tests this time around, but it's great experience. And Pat Cummins knows firsthand just how good he can be. He excelled in India on his first tour against some of the best players of spin in the world, and give him a chance to really show off his skills here.
Yeah, well, I thought Pat Cummins stuffed it today. I mean, you, in the fourth innings of a test match, you've got one spinner. You have to back him in. You have to give him a spell. And Murphy didn't get it, so he's got a reason to be dirty. I also thought Cummins, and it's been symptomatic of this whole series, but defending such a small total, I still thought there were too many easy singles in and around that infield. That they not only did they have the sweepers back, but there wasn't really much pressure around the bat, and England rotated the strike a little bit too comfortably.
Yeah, well, that's been a tactic from the Australians all the way through to set the two fielders back. I like what they did early on today, Menes. I'm not sure if you noticed, but they actually brought deep point up when Joe Root first came to the wicket, which was a lovely, lovely change to just not see, like, here, Joe, you're the best batter in the world. Get off the mark easy and get away into your innings. So I like that. I thought they could have been a bit more attacking, particularly when they still had runs to play with and they were taking wickets. But it's probably a way that the way that England have played, and because there's really nothing much between these two sides. Yeah, this score line is 2-1, and it really is. But there really isn't that much between these two sides, pound for pound. And I think Australia is trying to minimise as much damage as possible, and they're trying to say, well, we can save some runs and back our world-class bowlers to still take 20 wickets, which was the belief today. So it's kind of hedging your bets a little bit each way. So I can understand that. I would have liked to see them attack a little bit more, particularly when get one wicket. I, for the life of me, can't understand bowling bumpers at the tail when they're just going to back away. Just bowl at stumps, please, bowlers. Just really aim at the pegs and make it a game of you beside hit. I could have told you Barkley's hitting that ball for six any day when he came in this evening. So there's some discussions to be had. They've got about 9 days to sort it out. I'm sure you'll probably see some different tactics, because I think what we've learned so far, particularly in the tactical battle, I think England, led by Ben Stokes, absolutely brilliantly. He's a one-man talisman leader, heartbeat of that team. He needs some mates to come with him, whereas Australia, they've just got experience all the way down the list. So I think you'll see Australia really tapping into that. And can we say Pat's still a young captain?
Well, he's certainly still struggling and he's still inexperienced. Yeah. And he's on something today just after lunch, you know, they get Root before lunch, then they go Stokes Besto after lunch, and then Wokes joins Brook out there. And
who can properly bat.
Yeah, and he kept persisting with Boland, who was just absolutely doing nothing. And it let Wokes get away, and eventually they put on a crucial partnership. They put on 59, Brook and Wokes, and that was really the difference. And I just thought at the key moments, Cummins didn't quite pull the right reins.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. And Wokes could properly bat, as we saw today, and he ended up hitting the winning runs. I had a very, very good test match, Chris Wokes. I'm sure we'll see him for the rest of the series. But so he's a very good cricketer, and I think it validates the changes that England made to their 11. They reconfigured their attack knowing that Ben Stokes wouldn't be able to bowl, and they probably wouldn't have accounted for Ollie Robinson going down injured. But you look at all the way down the batting list, they have, okay, yeah, they reconfigured the top order, but they have Moeen Ali at 7, Chris Wokes at number 8, Chris Wokes has a test 100. Moeen Ali's got multiple test 100s. And Mark Wood, we saw, can give it a whack. And Stuart Broad, as we saw, can also give it a whack as well. So they bat all the way down. And there's a little bit more metal to that batting lineup it looked like as well. So even when they did get Stokes and Bairstow after lunch, as you said, you're thinking, well, this is an over because Wokes can properly bat. Broad can give it a whack. Mark Wood can give it a whack. So it would have taken something special. So I think as we alluded to before, Boland probably had his worst outing in Australian whites. And I think that might be it for him for the tourists, especially with Hazelwood. You'd expect to be fresh and coming back into the frame for Old Trafford. Cameron Green, we don't know what's going to happen there. Michael Nees is going back to county cricket, but surely he'd be getting a look soon. Just look at his numbers and say, how wouldn't he be handy, particularly in some of these conditions as well? So there's plenty of selection conversations to be had.
Yeah, indeed. So the heroes for England, Harry Brooks, 75 not out. Chris Wokes, 32 not out, returned to the team, took 6 wickets. And in the end, England have clawed their way back in the series. And it was another seesawing, topsy-turvy test match. I mean, you know, this has had everything already, this series. And I just think in this match in particular, you know, probably where England won it was, you know, knocking us over, taking 6 for 23 in that first innings. And then on that third afternoon, getting those key wickets, on that second afternoon, getting the key wickets of Labuschagne and Smith just before stumps opened the game up. And in the end, as I said, Australia, although they battled on that last day, I think a disappointing bowling performance.
Yeah, and you really go back even further than that. Lunchtime on day two, England are 7 for 142 and really looking so far away. England come out after lunch with Mark Wood and Ben Stokes, and Wood adds 24 and 8 deliveries, and that just sets Stokes on his way to pull England out of another really deep hole. So that's really where the game changed there for mine. And then they finally get a chance to bat in the best batting conditions they've had all series, really. And Steve Smith, Marnus Labuschagne throws his wicket away. He hasn't really looked near it this series yet, Marnus. And Steve Smith as well in his 100th test, throwing his wicket away. They're playing a really loose shot. So those two have quite a bit to prove, particularly going into Old Trafford. Steve Smith will have great memories of the last time he played at Old Trafford with his double 100 and his 80 in 2019. So he'll be looking to go big there again. As I said, I think that's really where the game changed there. And just from there, it really looked like England would be driving the bus. You knew that any play that they'd get on day three was an absolute bonus for England to be able to go out, make use of the overhead conditions and really just be able to try knock over Australia as cheaply as they did. You probably would have spoken about Travis Head, but that innings looked better and better the more that the England batting innings today went on. So really good stuff from him there to try and give a little bit more respectability to the Australians' total and really the Australians' cause. And if not for some errant fielding, the game could have been over. The margin at the end of the game could have been quite bigger and the game could have been over sooner.
Yeah, indeed. So England back in the series, and I think you're spot on. I think this break has come at the perfect time for Australia. Cummins needs a break. I think our top order needs a break. They look a bit frazzled and a bit tired. And we saw it actually after Headingley in 2019. I mean, we suffered that terrible defeat to Ben Stokes and some poor umpiring at the end there. So they got the win. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, we secured the Ashes at Old Trafford. So I don't see any reason why Australia can't do that, Jono.
Yeah, I'd like to agree with you there as well, Menas. I think the break's coming at the right time. And so it's been a frantic season. It's been a frantic series for everyone, really. I think we all need to take some time and have a bit of a deep breath. So it's coming at a fantastic time for everyone. But it's been, as I said off the top, it's a series that really, as much as Australian fans want it to be wrapped up early, it's a series for cricket, of test cricket, that doesn't really deserve any dead rubbers. So really you're looking at it and you're going, geez, well, this series has been, we always thought it was going to be a great series. It's already a great series. So the level of cricket has been unbelievable, and to see where it could potentially get to, I'm just as excited for July 19 to come around.
Well, Jono, thanks for joining me on this wrap of day four from Headingley. Thanks, listeners, for joining me right throughout the Test match, catching up with Lisa Stelaker in the next couple of days to have a bit of chat about all things cricket news. But everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.